scripture, I'll begin reading with the 18th verse, and there's a context, however, that I will refer to from the 3rd through the 30th verse of Matthew chapter 13. I'm preaching on what happened to Mr. Goodsey. Amen. What happened to Mr. Goodsey? Amen. It's a name that I gave him. Amen. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God, there he is, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. What happened to Mr. Goodsey? Amen. I'll skip down just a little bit. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man, verse 24, which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? From whence hath it tares? Amen. Amen. Now let's go back. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one catcheth away that was sown in his heart. And we see that all the time. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word of God, and anon with joy receiveth it, suddenly they disappear. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For in tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Boy, you just can't hardly keep from offending somebody, some folks. Amen. Yet he hath not rooted himself, dureth for a while. In tribulation, persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What happened to Mr. Goodsey? The ground was good. But good ground grows thorns too, if it's not taken care of. Oh, yes. Good ground grows tares real well, if it happens to have an enemy sow some. Amen. In India, it was a practice in some eastern countries to sow tares in the enemy's field, and some poisonous seeds take a lifetime to get rid of. It's like having a field full of Johnson grass. Almost impossible to get rid of a field of Johnson grass. Best way to get rid of Johnson grass back before they had herbicides, and even when you use herbicide today, it's got to be above 80 degrees when you put it on. Amen. And so you got to know what you're doing. But before herbicides, they would plow the field up in the wintertime, turn hogs in on it. And the hogs would eat the Johnson grass roots. And they was able to get rid of Johnson grass. But some things it takes a lifetime to get rid of. They thought they was doing us a favor. When I was in vocational agriculture, they taught us to grow cover crops, and one of those protective cover crops to keep the land from washing away was kudzu. Now you drive through Kentucky, the mountains of Kentucky. Everywhere you go along the road, the trees are covered with kudzu. Amen. All kinds of good trees. Kudzu is no respect of trees. It will climb any tree, any hill, any mountain, cover any kind of a rock. And it has taken the mountains of Kentucky by storm. And the only way you can get rid of kudzu is kill the good stuff too. Amen. And so kudzu has taken over. They thought they was doing a favor. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You got one chance at life. One chance at this crop. One chance on this farm. If you please. We can't afford to sow bad seed. Amen. Your only chance in this world of having success in life is to sow good seed. And even that is not ironclad. In every case, the sower sowed good seed. The same seed. Did you ever wonder why some folks listening to the same preaching do better all the time? And others get offended and leave church and quit. Amen. Oh, that's the difference. Amen. And one preacher estimated that only 2% of the people that he preached to, our converts that he had, was good ground. One said his wasn't even that high. 1% would be a high estimation. Amen. The big question that poses itself to me today is, how did the gospel succeed at all? How did such a radical bunch, amen, and such a tiny bunch, how did such a tiny bunch change their world? Well, number one, they had good seed. That makes the difference. Our only chance in this world is to sow good seed. You don't want that other stuff. You don't want that cheat, that weed, that wild grass, that stuff that chokes out good seed. Hey, we want good wheat, don't we? How many likes bread? Huh? You like bread? Amen. Well, amen. Half a dozen of you like bread. Amen. Yeah. That's a useless question. Everybody likes bread. I never heard anybody in my life say, I don't like bread. I don't like old bread. Everybody likes bread. Bread is a staff of life. People live on it. John Wesley even experimented with living on nothing but bread and water. And after living on bread and water for some time, he and his evangelistic team were no worse for it. They lived on bread and water. Amen. So before we can have bread, we've got to have wheat. Before we can have wheat, we've got to have good seed. Amen. A group of radical Russian Christians were cast out of Russia about in the 1920s, thereabouts, maybe before. Amen. And they migrated to the United States of America, and they brought with them, as they settled in the West, hard red wheat. That hard red wheat survived the West, and they raised it all out west, and it became so hardy it became one of the best that they had in the United States of America. Amen. In the 1930s, Russia had a famine, and it was from the lack of
bread.
If they had kept those people that they threw out, they would have saved Russia. Amen. With their hard red wheat. In fact, we shipped some of that same wheat back to Russia to save their necks, so they could turn right around and rob and pillage Europe and put up an iron curtain and carry on a cold war for 50 years against the United States of America trying to take over the world. Amen. We've had to bail them out many times, but in order to live, in order to farm, in order to be a success, you need to have good seed. Praise God. And here we have good seed. Good seed produces good wheat. And so I have called this fellow Mr. Good Seed. Amen. But then all around us today we see these casualties. All around us today we see some of the best we thought that are vacillating and oscillating and apostatizing and backsliding. The first thing that happens when you see somebody that started out so good and was so faithful to church and did so good and shouted a victory with the rest of us, the first thing you notice is that suddenly they disappear. You say, what happened to so-and-so? Where did so-and-so go? Amen. People shake their head and say, I don't know. Well, the truth is they're still around, but they're not around Christian fellowship. They're not around church fellowship. Amen. In fact, they're still there, but you can't see nothing but weeds. I went to see Brother Billy Roeder for one day, and Tim was still farming the farm, and that's right after Tim had raised 225 bushel per acre of corn up there, as far as I'm concerned, that's a record. I never heard of anybody raising any more than that. But I went up to see Billy Roeder, and every once in a while I'd get some of that milk out of the great big tank that they had there in the barn, and they're still milking those cows, and bring some of that real stuff, unhomogenized, unpasteurized, home. Amen. Have some real milk again. But anyway, that day has passed. But this particular time, I don't know whether I was going hunting or borrowing something from Billy when I was up there on the farm this particular day, but I looked out across this big field and all I could see was Jimson weeds. And I said, what is that, Tim? Amen. And Tim said, well, so that's soybeans with Jimson weeds. He might have said Jimson weeds with soybeans in them. Amen. But anyway, those big Jimson weeds had got so big, amen, and they had covered up that soybean patch. I never did learn how that turned out. I'll have to talk it over with Billy, amen, later on, how that soybean patch turned out. But I guarantee you one thing, because of the Jimson weeds choking, they got less soybeans than they would have. Amen. But you couldn't see the soybeans for the Jimson. You couldn't hardly tell what kind of field it was. Amen. Many Christians today are disappearing. You know how they're disappearing? They're disappearing under their weeds. Where are they? Amen. The Bible tells us where they are. Why do you lose so many good ground, good people, good background, holiness father, holiness mother, even preachers in the family? Amen. But they've disappeared. What happened to them? What happened to Mr. Goodsey that had such a good start? Oh, they had all kinds of names to call him. They called him Mr. Goodbar. Amen. That's one of them highway wholeness bunch. And some in the last 23 years have accused them of being Collinsites. Amen. That's a low blow. Boy, that's striking beneath the belt. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. But why, in spite of good seed, in spite of good ground, same seed, same chance, same opportunity, same move of God, same evangelist coming through in an endless stream, same camp meeting, same youth camps, same effort, same people fasting and praying. Why is it you look around and they're gone? Amen. They disappeared. Amen. Oh, they've got an excuse. My family. Wait a minute. Thorns. Huh? My job. Wait a minute. Thorns. I gotta pay the bills. Cares a lot. Hold on, thorns. And they got a little money, and they've got to spend it, and I just got to get away. You don't have to be disloyal to get away. You can be faithful to God while you're away. You don't have to backslide to get away. Amen. Thorns! Amen. Jessica will have her a new tape about thorns. That other one was a more positive tape. Amen. This one's more negative. Praise God. What happened to Mr. Goodsey? Boy, they had the same gospel, they had the same chant, same move of God, same preachers. Hey, hang around the highway of holiness for a while, and we'll find one you like. Richard talks slow and enunciates well, and they love him in Russia because they've got to translate. And so he talks slow enough that they, amen, in foreign countries, he's such a blessing, praise God. And so you hang around long enough, we'll get one that just suits your fancy. If you don't get covered up with something, amen, cares of life, deceitful things. Why, those thorns, sometimes when they start, they're green. And those tares, when they start growing, they look just like wheat. And, hey, boy, the field looks good. It's nice and green, amen. But when they begin to head up, you see that poisonous grain growing up that you can't afford to get mixed up with the wheat, amen. And did you know that Jesus told the disciples that wanted to root them out, let them alone? Hey, preachers, there's some things you can't fix. Amen. There's some situations you can't fix. Let them alone. They're too intertwined. They're too intertangled. Amen. It's a family affair, if you please. Amen. If you pull them out, their roots are wrapped around others, and you pull them out. Let them alone. You're not compromising because you let them alone. The best you can do, preacher, hoeing close. Close hoeing. You'll cut one down once in a while. I've cut some good plants down, paid good money for. And did you ever see a grown man cry? Amen, in the middle of the patch. Hey, couldn't blame nobody but myself. Amen. Oh, I thought that plant was over here, but it had curved around a little bit to get by the weeds somehow or other. Amen. And when I hoed where I thought would get the weeds, I cut the plant down. Well, what do you do when you cut one down? Quit farming? Take your bush hog and
Mow the whole patch? Huh?
Get aggravated with yourself and throw down your hoe and let the weeds take it? What do you do when you cut one down? Amen. Well, in church work, pray. Amen. John R. Rice said, if you can't preach very good, you ought to sing a little. He said, if you can't preach very good or sing very good, he said, you need to write a book. And if you don't do that, he said, you need to publish a paper. But he said, if you can't publish a paper or sing very good or preach very good or write a book, you need to pray a lot. And most of us need to pray a lot. Amen. The best we can do, we're a failure. Amen. We need a lot of help. We need a lot of God. Hallelujah. Hey, many times when people disappear, I blame myself. I'd find them if I could, but I can't find them. In all the weeds, I have lost them. Did you ever lose anything in the weeds? Hard to find sometimes in the weeds, isn't it? Amen. Brother Greg preached that classic message on picking up pennies. Amen. And God had spoke to me 23 years ago when I came to the Highway of Holiness. He told me to pick up the pennies, and I wanted to do bigger things. But he said, pick up the pennies. Amen. And when Greg came along last year and preached that and strode pennies all over the platform and had us picking them up, amen, I said, that's a confirmation of what God told me. Amen. 23 years ago to pick up the pennies, praise God. Amen. But did you ever try to find a penny in a weed patch? Almost impossible. I mean, if you had a Geiger counter and a metal detector that cost $1,000, sometimes you couldn't find some people. Amen. Because they don't want to be found. They want to hide in their weeds. Amen. They want to get away. They're tired of God. They're burnt out on radical Christianity. They're burnt out on holiness. And what really happened is they choked out. Amen. Choked out because of the weeds. The weeds, amen, grew up. And the weeds took the water. The weeds took the nutrients. The weeds, amen, took everything. Thank you for $703 for Brother Tom and his trip to Romania. Praise God. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God. Amen. What happened to Mr. Good Seed? Had good seed, had good ground. Amen. He was doing good. He was going to church all the time, and suddenly he's missing action. Why do people at once rejoiced in all the fellowship of the church and the body of Christ suddenly disappear? Thorns covered them up. Amen. Cares of life. Deceitfulness of riches. And then one of the other evangelists said, lust of other things. Too many other desires. Too many other things taking your mind and attention and thoughts and energies and finance. It's amazing today that people have four cars set in the driveway, a boat and a yacht. Amen. And two or three four-wheel, all-terrain drive vehicles. Amen. And they ain't got time to go to church and haven't got anything to give. Amen. Thorns have choked it out. Huh? Praise God. What is the cure, if any? Amen. The best way is see the problem early, because some weeds, if you let them go, pardon the vernacular, but there ain't no hope. I told you about that little sack of potatoes I cut up and planted when I first came here, and then me and Randy Coffey went up to export for two-week camp meeting. Amen. And that's when Randy was still single. And I came back. And in 2 weeks' time, the weeds had taken my little tater row. Wasn't too many. Just a row in the back of the very back garden. Back there where that big locust tree is now. Amen. But the weeds had taken. And I got in there and I fought like a tiger. Boy, I got in there and I pulled all them weeds out of my taters. But they say that weeds produce anemones. Their roots does. That prevent other weeds and other plants from growing. Well, now, I don't know whether that's what happened or not. But it stunted my taters and they never did do any good. I just barely got some potatoes that big out of that patch. Amen. And just barely got enough to reclaim my seed. Amen. But I didn't quit. I got my seed back. That's nothing to boast about. You just get your seed back. Hey, if you just get your seed back, you don't have nothing to eat, nothing to plant next year, no profit. That's kind of like some churches I've pastored. Maybe not churches, but some people I've pastored. Amen. How did they do it? How did that tiny bunch, how did that little group of people, that group of radicals, my Lord, those followers, that tiny, 120 on the day of Pentecost, amen, was about to stick a gospel crowbar under the world and turn it upside down. How did they do it? They had good seed. And that's the reason Christianity has survived today. Because they had good seed. Oh, I know that there's a lot of things wrong in the Christian professed church today across the board and as a whole. Amen. But that's not all there is to the church. J.A. Sice said that the church's history has been a church coming out of a church. Praise God. It's always been a church coming out of a church. Amen. A remnant, a godly remnant coming out of a whole bunch. Praise God. And why has the church survived and the purity of the gospel survived and the King James Version survived all these years? Because it's good seed. Amen. And the Presbyterians may apostatize. The Lutherans may lose sight of the just shall live by faith. And the Methodists may no longer count those that were sanctified. Incidentally, the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, no longer count them either. Amen. But there's a remnant. Amen. A group coming out of a group. A constantly evolving church. Hallelujah. And to this day, we continue. Amen. And good fruit is born of good seed. Praise God. I'd like to be able to sing to my dying day or to the rapture, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. But it keeps me busy chopping thorns. But to this day, this morning, I can still sing, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Praise God. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with a fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. And I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. Raise your hands and praise Him a little bit this morning. You have to start early on the problem to be a survivor. Todd Smith said the other night, said, who wants to hear what's his name and the revivers? What's his name? Charles Johnson. Said, who wants to hear Charles Johnson and the revivers when you come to the Highway of Holiness and C.L.L. Collins and the survivors? Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to be one of them, wouldn't you?
Praise God. I'd like to be one of the survivors. Hallelujah.
What do? You got to see the problem early. You need a preacher to point out that the thorns are growing up. Pull them quick. Pull the weeds early. Amen. Get them before they get a very big start, because, boy, it's hard to pull some weeds.
Them old weeds, I get a hold of them up there in the garden, and they'll break off before they'll pull out of the ground. And then I've got to reach all the way down. It hurts me to bend that far and get a hold with both hands way down low and pull that weed and hope it don't pull a tomato or a tater out with it. Amen.
Amen. You got to start early. Amen. You got to determine in your heart to be a survivor. You got to pray God to help you with this thorn business. Chop out the thorns. Amen. You got to pour on the herbicide, if you please.
We need one more move of God like that, don't we?
Amen. We need one more preacher to come by. My God, it looks like he's killed them all.
Amen. He won't. Hallelujah.
I passed by a soybean patch the other day. Amen. I thought he's killed his whole soybean patch. That guy had gone through and had sprayed that soybean patch with herbicide to get rid of the weeds, and the soybeans was turning brown. I thought he's killed a whole patch. Amen. But the soybeans came out full foliage. The weeds died away. Praise God. And he had a good crop, and I decided the farmer was right. And a lot of folks that thought LL too hard, he too mean, he preaches too much holiness. Amen. He's too radical, and so they quit. Amen. He's going to kill a whole patch. No, I didn't. Look at all the survivors. Hallelujah. Wave your hand at me a little bit. Praise God. Amen. Hey, we're going to have a crop yet. Praise God. Amen. And it won't be docked at the market for weed seed neither.
Amen. They dock you when you go to sell your soybeans if you have too many weed seeds in them.
Amen. So pour on the herbicide. Amen. I thought they'd killed a whole patch. Too much weed killer. I later saw that the farmer was right. We need one more move of God. Amen. Keep the weeds down.
I've kept them down pretty good in the patch. Amen. I ain't going to tell nobody how hard I've worked, because it might discourage them from trying it.
Ain't going to tell nobody how hard I've sweated, because it might discourage them from trying it. Amen. But it's not having a green thumb, I'll tell you this, that enables you to raise 2 and 3 pound tomatoes and 6 pound turnips. And I had both last year. Amen. It's not a green thumb. It's elbow grease and sweat and work. Amen. And don't get too discouraged when you fail. Amen. Go back and try. How did you raise 5 and 6 pound turnips? Because I mixed it with some old mustard seed and some old kale and some old radish and some old lettuce. Amen. And I'm going to sow it all together in 2 little packs of turnip seed. Mixed it all together. And the only thing that was good seed, Princess, was the turnips. The turnips is all that come up. One here, one there, one here, there, there. You couldn't tell you had too many turnips till they got full foliage. But they had so much room that they got so big. I had the biggest turnips to have so many of them. The most biggest turnips that I ever had, Oakley. Amen. I kept that around a while. It weighed 6 pounds. That weighed 5 pounds. Amen. And I was like Uncle Jake. His turnips were so big he couldn't cut them with a knife. And he got him a bigger knife, and he still couldn't do any good with them, so he just split them with an axe. Amen. Hallelujah. You know how I happened to have big turnips? Because they had plenty.
plenty of room, and the rest of the seed was bad seed. And they didn't crowd the turnip seed. The Florida broadleaf didn't come up. Kale didn't come up. The radishes and lettuce were sowed to have some late in the winter, late fall. Amen. Seed man, the old greenhouse man, said, take those packets of lettuce and radish and mix them up with your turnip seed and your mustard seed, you'll have some late lettuce and radishes. And I've been doing that through the years, but none of that came up. Just the turnips came up. But boy, what turnips. What whoppers. Those turnips took advantage of all the fertilizer, all the weed killer and all herbicide I put on there. Amen. And they got the most and the biggest and the best. Still sweet, still good. I mean, you just cut one half and two and a half and make a whole meal. Amen. But it was because part of the seed was bad. And only the good seed came up. Amen. Hey, don't worry about being small. Just be sure you got good seed. Don't worry about the church being just few in number. Just make sure you got good seed. If you got good seed, they'll be singing the praises of Grandma and Grandpa's faith in the ages to come. If you got good seed, praise God, the grandchildren will rise up and call the work you did blessed, praise God. Oh, you may not be topping tall timber today. You may not be among the big farmers like those in southeast Missouri and the Boot Heel, amen, that farm by computer, and all of them succeed when everybody else fails, because if it don't rain, they irrigate. Amen. And they plow and plant by computer. You may not be operating in a big way, but if you got good seed, that's what counts. Keep the good seed. Keep it separated from the weeds. Amen. One evangelist in telling this same parable said the lust of other things, and another one thrown in the pleasures of this life. I think that was Luke. Among the weeds that choked out cares of life, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, and the pleasures of this life. There you got it. All cataloged. And that's why Mr. Goodseed, with every chance in the world, great potential, has disappeared from the rank and file of the church of the living God. Oh, they still got a profession, but they're buried down there. The weeds have covered them up. Stand with me while I pray. Father, we call on God. We need a lot of help. We need a lot of guidance. Lord, deliver us from hardness of heart. Deliver us from a callous attitude. Deliver us, Lord, from our rebellions and entertain weeds. Deliver us, Lord, from our rebellions, Lord. And keep these pets around that's going to destroy us in time to come. Help us, Lord, not to allow family, friends, our responsibilities in this world to keep us from the things of God. But to always keep God first and foremost, number one, in our life. Lest they look around and we be missing someday and they say, tell me what happened to Mr. Goodsey, or Mrs. Goodsey, or Sister Goodsey, or Brother Goodsey. They had such a good start and seemed to believe such good things, but now they're gone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, while they sing, let's make an altar and pray one for another. Amen. Shake hands with our visitors before you leave. Tell them you're so glad they came. Amen.
So
make them feel good at being in the highway of holiness.
Praise by God. Helping my brother struggling on the stormy sea. And I'm sowing a good seed, doing a good deed that'll come back. Come back I took me a long look. I believe in each and every part. But I sure rejoice in knowing about a reaping and a sowing. Well, I really took that lesson to heart. So I cast my bread upon the waters by helping my brother struggling on the stormy sea. And I'm sowing a good seed, doing a good deed that'll come back to me. I can't buy my way to heaven, but there's a heaven waiting, purchased by our good and loving Lord. But there's no harm in striving, trusting and surviving, holding on, expecting my reward. So I cast my bread upon the waters by helping my brother struggling on.
Be careful of those careless winds of summer. When careless winds start blowing, we drift so easily. Be careful of the deceptions of daylight saving time. It'll keep you out there, amen, entertaining good things which will become your idols if you allow them to keep you out of church. You've got to keep your priorities straight in the deceptions of daylight saving time. We didn't have that trouble back in the country when I was a kid. We started church at dark 30. We need to do like the black folks down south. Some of them don't start till 9 o'clock. Amen. And then they figure on going till midnight, praise God. Watch the deceptions of summer, and it's careless winds, and it's daylight saving time. It's a thorn that'll choke out your experience with God. If you let it, it'll keep you in the yard mowing. It'll keep you at the job and at the hammer and the saw. Amen. It'll keep you on the lake when you ought to be in the house of God. Put God first in your life. Raise your hands and praise Him. Amen. And He has keeping power. We have surviving power if we determine in our hearts not to be a casualty. Hallelujah. We can be a survivor. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shake glad hands with one another. Come back tonight. Somebody be preaching at 6:30. Amen. Church starts at 7. Ah, yes. Praise God.
And I'm sowing a good seed, doing a good deed that'll come back to me. I can't buy my way to heaven, but there's a heaven waiting, purchased by our good and loving Lord. But there's no harm in striving, trusting and surviving, holding on, expecting my reward. So I cast my bread upon the waters by help.